Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know what? I'm in a pretty good mood this morning. I can't really explain to you why. Look around. Look, everything's going on. Not a whole lot to be happy and excited about, but it really is. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And man, what a time to be alive. Hey, before we get rolling right here, I got a great show for you today. Guys always say that, don't they? But we do have a great show. And after a weekend of didn't spend a whole lot of time, I'm way behind on emails, all that stuff. Bear with me. So what do I have today? 634 of them I got to try to catch up to today. So I'm doing my best to get to them. But I want to had a great weekend at Sky High, and I just want to send a public thank you out to, first of all, on Friday, Bob and Tammy Evans. Bob came over and he's building a tower. We are building the cross tower at Sky High. I mean, we're talking 60 feet in the air. And Bob brought the first part of the tower by on Friday. He and Tammy came. He'd been working hard at it. And then Bob helped me repair the septic system. We had a couple cracks in the sewer line. And, you know, just Bob's a silent assassin, just loving, caring people like that. I mean, how can you get by? I thank you, Bob and Tammy. Just tell you, man. And then on Saturday, Gary Pierce and Mike Blake and Coach Norm showed up. And Randy, we jumped on your skid steer again. I don't know where it'd be without that stinking skid steer. We cleaned up a little bit up around the place. And man, just got a lot of stuff done. I said to Michelle, I said, I wonder if I would – I hope I'm as good a servant as – a lot of other people are, who give up their time and effort and energy, come to help. Why? I don't know. I don't know. But it just encouraged my heart. All those people who are willing to help, people out there who send offerings and donations. If you're listening right and you're looking for something to donate to, I got two causes maybe you can help us with. Number one, we're having the tactical training here July 17th, 18th, and 19th, where we're going to train people to shoot weapons. If you can't see the need for weapons coming to wherever you live, I don't know, folks, it's going to be like drinking water. You're going to need it. And do you know how to protect yourself, defend yourself? Does your wife know how to? If you're not home, does your wife know how to grab a 12-gauge shotgun or a 410? Or she know how to defend herself? She know how to grab a pistol and defend yourself if somebody does she? Are you concerned about that? We're doing that tactical training to do that. And we'll have expenses that'll be associated with that. We're not charging anybody to come, but there'll be expenses that'll be associated with it. Larry's going to come and fire up his grill and cook some food. We'll have some great fellowship. That would be, if you can't make it, that would be something we could use some help on that for sure. And the second project, as crazy as you may think it is, this cross that Bob Evans is putting together, it's going to be 60 feet up in the air. It's going to be lighted all the way down through Buckeye Lake, which doesn't mean anything to you. We went out on the boat Friday, Bob and Tammy and I and Michelle. We went out on the boat, and we got about 7.5-8 miles away from Sky High, and we eyeballed exactly where that lighted cross is going to stand, and they'll see it all the way down the lake. There'll be no doubt that Jesus is king over Sky High. So we're working on that. You throw a few bucks out that way, to do that, we would appreciate it. And a lot of great, great, great stuff going on. So I just, God bless you all. And I just think, again, Randy and Mark Trump and Joseph Allen, every time I go in there, I think of you guys every day and all the effort and time that you've given, selflessly given to help make that thing better. And I was thinking of Ryan Duncan and him on that skid steer, and I tried to train Gary a little bit on the skid steer on Saturday and how involved that thing is. And Randy, we're taking good care of it, but man, oh man, oh man. Things are shaping up. All right, cool. I'll get off of that. Don't miss the tactical training, okay? It's on our website, but you have to register. We need to know how many people are coming. You can bring whatever weapon you want to bring. Don't bring a cannon, all right? Don't bring a machine gun. It's not a machine gun shoot, although we're allowed to have them. But any weapon that you have that you don't feel comfortable using, we want to help train you. The 17th through the 19th, we're going to do a little bit of hand, what do they call that? Protecting yourself, hand-to-hand defense. Going to do some of that. We're going to do some walkie-talkies. That's a bad word. Ham radio. Trying to unite us before they pull the lever down to shut down the internet and all that stuff's all coming. So it's going to be a really, really important, I think, perspective weekend. Come join us. July 17th through 19th. You have to register so we know who's coming and everything that's going on. Hey, I want to thank the guy out there who registered. I can't remember his name. He's watching right now. Who sent me the most, I think it was him and his son. I'm not sure. It was a beautiful family picture of one of the men, I think it was the father, I'm not sure, performing oral sex on his son. Thank you so much for that picture. Thank you so much. I love it when fathers and sons get together like that, that have close-knit families. So thanks. Keep sending those dirty pictures to us. It shows really where your mind is, right? That you need delivered. You need the God of heaven to come down and cleanse your heart and your mind, brother. If you're doing that kind of stuff, if you're sending out pictures, that kind of stuff, you are one wicked individual. You have an evil, evil, dark, dark heart, brother. Dark heart. And what's the old saying? Turn or burn? I don't know. You whatever. Boy, man, get your life right. Why would you do that? Why would anybody send porno pictures? What how does that empower anybody? How does that empower any? Does it empower you? You think I looked at the porno picture? What? Poor my pure eyes never seen something like that? I've never seen a father son like you guys were, though. Yeah, I get it. Hey, so listen, I got it. Real quickly, Sheldon, great news. Sheldon, pull it up. Columbus police clears the streets. We had another one of those freak rallies again yesterday. That's all they are. They're college aged freaks. That's all they are. It's the hippies. It's the grandchildren of the hippies. The sins of the father passed to the first, second, third generation. It's the sins of the father in the hippies, and it's the fruit of the public education system. And if we don't come out of this, if we would do nothing more than reform or get rid of the public education system, we might have a chance. If we don't get rid of the public education system, we have no chance. If those of you Christians in particular, when this whole thing's over, if you put your kids back in public schools, I don't know what to tell you. Because you turn on any video of any riot that's going on anywhere, it's young people, folks. It's young people. It's college-aged kids. It's high school, all of it. What do they all have in common? Public schools. Public schools.
Boom. Mic drop.
And the church can do something about it, see. Pastors need to begin opening their churches every day for Christian education through the internet. Listen, you don't have to. I was a public school teacher for 25 years. I can tell you this. You can find all the education. All you have to do, folks, is direct the student to watch a video. That's even better. That's even better. See, you sit in a classroom, stay with me a second, and you have kids, you have 30 of them in there, and you're trying to educate them on, dare we say, you want to teach them the Constitution, let's say. So everybody, you're teaching everybody the same thing. And although there may be a kid in there who's known the Constitution since he was in the third grade, he's now in the seventh grade, it's been a favorite, he has to sit there as we teach to the lowest common denominator, the dummies. We have to teach them. Well, see, with the internet, you can just send a kid to a website and say, hey, you want more information on this? Just watch this website and watch this website and tell me what you think about. Why does everybody have to be taught the same thing at the same time, same level? Second grade, you teach this. Third grade, you teach this. Fourth grade, you teach this. Our little granddaughter, Reese, she's 9 years old. She'd be a freshman in high school, stuff that she knows. Never set foot first, second in government school. That's a whole different story. That's a whole different one. Do I have it up there, Sheldon? Because I want you guys to see This is what we need if we are going to reclaim America. Okay, Sheldon, scroll down, brother. Boy, did they get mad. You just want to do some Google searching? Go on down, Sheldon. You want to do some Google searching? Search this. Boy, are they mad. Boy, are they mad. The protesters are mad. They're calling themselves, keep going. They're peaceful, of course. Peaceful protesters, right? They all stop right there, Sheldon. So here's what they did. They went out and sat down at Broad and High, and they blocked the streets. Blocked the streets. And somewhere along the line, somebody said, clear those streets. And here's what it looked like. Go ahead. It's only about a minute. So see that. So then the left begins to complain because they use some pepper spray. Folks, you're not allowed to block. You can't block the streets. All right, that's folks. That ain't lawful. Okay, that isn't lawful. So thank God for Columbus. Somebody got a little bit of sense somewhere and pushed them back on the sidewalk where they belong. And I just got to say this. Christianity has no answer to the problems we're seeing in America today. Christianity has no answers. Wait a minute. Other than salvation. If you can't get them saved, that's the only weapon we have in our, let's pray and get them saved. That's our only weapon. Well, what do we do, my friends, if salvation does not take? If salvation doesn't work, what is the answer that Christianity offers today to this type of situation? That's a question. I'm going to open it up real quickly. What does Christianity offer to what we just looked today? In other words, excuse me. Where's the church? My cough's better, Randy. Thanks. Where's the church?
Without proper equipping and training, without rearing our children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, what you said about that, brother, I spoke on Judges chapter 2, Joshua was buried, and it says, and then the fathers gathered together, and yet another generation came up that knew not God, knew the ordinances of God, and it says, and they did evil what was in the sight of the Lord. My daughter walked up in front of the pulpit this week, brother, quoted all the presidents in the United States in order, proper names, and I looked and I said, all right, how many of y'all can do that? Because they're tearing down statues of George Washington.
That's right. Destroying history.
I said, raise your hands. Who else can quote all the presidents? Three people in the church raised their hands. You know who they were? My other three children, homeschoolers. Exactly. I said, and this is the problem, fathers. I said, you better become a fire starter. You better build a firewall around your home because it's coming to you.
It's coming for sure, Dale. It's coming for sure. I'm looking right now for Joshua because Dale just mentioned it. Oh, my God. Somebody go ahead and talk while I find it. Why can't I find jobs?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. Listen, they're planning on coming down here to Gettysburg, too. Yeah, I joined some people on a Trump overpass thing this past weekend. Probably close to 100 people showed up, which was about, I was told 10 usually show up. Now we had close to 100. But the point is, there's some PA local chapters of Oath Keepers there and some other people. And so the word is the Antifa, terrorists, Black Lives Matter types are going to be coming to Gettysburg and having a field day down there, and we and us and the cowardice Christian people willing to step out of the church walls and the Oath Keeper types are the only people that's going to prevent that from happening.
So Bobby, you're just not going to pray for their salvation? You're just not going to stay in your church and pray for their salvation?
Well, I was thinking about gathering a bunch of mega church pastors together, and we could go down there, or better yet, we could just stay in the church houses and locally pray and ask for God's blessing and protection.
Amen, brother. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. I'm looking for something right now. Pull up Judges 2.
I was being sarcastic.
I know you were, Bobby. I know you were. I know you were. I appreciate all you do, Bob. You walk out your faith. Judges 2.
Hey, guys, maybe they could all preach how they can have their best life now.
Well, I'm saying, come on. Stay with me here a second. Can somebody tell me Christianity's answer to what we see in the streets? The rapture and get them saved. Can anybody give me another solution? And should we have a solution? Should we have another solution? Do we have one?
Absolutely, we do.
What is it?
You got to make them feel comfortable in their sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Does the church have an answer? Church has no answer.
Aren't we to reprove the works of darkness?
Well, we are supposed to. I'm sorry, I was looking for something over. We're supposed to we are, but we don't, right?
All right. We don't.
Joshua, what did I say? Judges 2. I hate it when verses like this pop into my head and then I'm not ready for it. But it says Dale's right. Judges 2 verse Judges 2, Jared. Are you trying? I'm sorry, man. Sheldon.
2:8 talks about Joshua dying.
Okay.
When you get to 10, you will see that this is that generation. Brother, this is the Spock generation. Uh-huh. Don't spank them. This is what's happening. Let them be free little thinkers. And this is exactly what we're seeing in the streets right now.
So Judges 2 verse 10 says this, folks. Dale's exactly right. Begin at verse 7 right there is good. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They followed Joshua and they served Joshua all his days. And all the elders, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So Joshua taught his elders and they continued it on even after he died. And his elders who outlived Joshua, who'd seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Folks, they're destroying history. They're destroying history right in front of the church. They're coming to the church and they're going to pour down statues of Jesus. You better mark my word. They're coming. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Watch. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, had died, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. It comes back to 1984. Sheldon, go to Facebook real quickly, my Facebook page. They knew not the Lord. Thank you for that tidbit, Dale. There rose a generation who knew not the Lord. We have kids that don't know the Lord. They do not know the Lord. Scroll down, Sheldon, if you could. A couple of memes I put up there I want you all to see today, just in this morning. Here's a good one right there. Nope, next one, Sheldon, sorry. Man, what's going on there? Keep going down, bud. We're just posting a lot of different places. No, I didn't post that. What the heck? Keep going. What's going on here? Come on, get down there. Keep going. I've never seen anything like this in my life. What's this? Forget it, Sheldon. I don't know what's going on. I go to my page. Boom, it's right there. It's right there. There it is. Democrat states. There's the rules for COVID-19 rules for churches, bars, and restaurants. And then there's the COVID-19 rules for the protesters. They just get that picture, don't you? That's more true than we realize. Next one down. Next one down, Sheldon. Nope, keep going. People responding to it. How about this one? At the core of liberalism is the spoiled child. Miserable, as all spoiled children are. Unsatisfied, demanding, ill-disciplined, despotic, and useless. Liberalism is the philosophy of sniveling brats. Amen, PJ O'Rourke. That's what we're seeing out on the streets. Go on, one more, going down. George Orwell, 1984. Huh? Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. George Orwell, book 1984, which used to be required reading, written in 1948, telling us about communism and what's coming. One more down, one more. Sheldon, one more. We're going to watch this here. We'll give you a little bit of humor. Hey, Sheldon, don't click it there. Sorry. Go to my, hey, folks, CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com, the videos. Go there, Sheldon. Thank God Jared got a video up for me real quickly. Somebody sent it to me today. I got two things. Listen, you have got to watch the video of Catherine Austin Fitz, second one on the page. You've got to watch that. It's 58 minutes and 52 seconds. You can put it up to time and a half or time and three quarter, whatever. You got to watch that video, okay? You folks, watch that video, all right?
And then I saw it over the weekend. Outstanding.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And then watch this one today. I just got this one today and posted it here on Facebook. I'm sorry, on our homepage, because I don't think they can censor us if it's on our own. This is "I am a white man and I'm sorry" video. Go play that, Sheldon. It's about 4 minutes.
I am a white man and I'm sorry, 'cause everything is all my fault. The list of wrongs will never end. Spend my life in recompense. Just being born a white man is a sore. So even though I didn't do them, I am the one who you should blame for any kind of injury at any time in history, even if in antiquity. The fault so clearly lies with me. I should be lynched, discredited, and shamed. I've googled what I am to blame for, and there is poverty, injustice, global warming, house prices, rape, gangs, homelessness, communism, drug addiction, terrorism, populism, chauvinism, fascism, population growth, and plastic in the ocean, bias in the media, religious fundamentalism, knife crime, gun crime, corporate crime and hate crime, obesity, inflation, bad traffic, unemployment, floods, teen depression, income inequality, anything bad that happens in Africa, misogyny, tsunamis, slavery and ISIS, COVID-19, homophobia, animal abuse, mosquito-borne diseases, famine, melting ice caps, lack of opportunity, suicide, racism, teenage pregnancy, erosion of the family, CO2 levels, meteor strikes, mass movement of people, corruption in the third world, looting and riots, the failures of socialism, wars, paedophilia. To know what's more offensive, my being male or being white. What's more, I went to public school. I'm over 50, that ain't cool. We all know well that none of this is right. I am a privileged oppressor. If I'd known, I'd have not been born. I should be fined, pay extra tax, be mugged or looted and attacked, have all my property ransacked, no platform if I dare speak back. My just desert is to be left forlorn. I am a white man and I'm sorry for things like the internet, the smartphone, modern medicine, motor cars, steam engines, jet engines, petrol engines, railways, refrigeration, television, running water, space travel, radio, computers, the satellite, GPS, nuclear fission, electricity, photography, plastics, central heating, sewage systems. The lavatory, the light bulb, eyeglasses, anesthesia, aeroplanes, the printing press, the piano, the bicycle, video games, the television.
telescope, the microscope, the training shoe, guitars, laser microchips, nylon, amplified sound, vaccination, the battery, the electric motor, antibiotics.
That's good enough, Jared. That's good. You can cut it off there, Sean. You get the perspective right. All the things that we've done wrong and none of the things that we've done right. Listen, folks, a couple things. They're killing history. And we are fighting a one-way war. That's what's going on. There's absolutely no pushback from the Christian community, no pushback at all against standards of righteousness and decency. How about this one? How about stop resisting arrest? What if we taught people in the inner city, don't resist arrest. Just sue afterwards. If they arrest you wrong, just sue them. Now, somebody out there tell me, if a black man tries to resist arrest, hey, Vinny, is that a good thing? You think that's heading someplace good, Vinny, if a black guy tries to resist arrest? Anybody think that's a good idea? Hey, anybody out there?
Absolutely not. That's a recipe.
Anybody think that's a good idea for anybody to resist arrest, let alone a black guy? Would George Floyd be alive today if somebody told him not to resist arrest? The guy in that Wendy's parking lot, would he be alive today if somebody had told him not to resist arrest? Would he be alive today? At what point do we have some type of responsibility to live to fight another day? Yes.
Because he would have been alive today if he resisted arrest. He started the whole incident. He passed out at a drive-thru. He antagonized the cops. He stole the taser. He asked
for it. I don't care about any of that. If he just – folks, they have courts. You can sue, for false arrest. You can do that now. Why don't we teach him not to resist arrest? Why don't we do that? Simple. Well, seems to me be simple. Instead, we have to reform the entire police culture, right? We got to reform all the police. Get rid of the police because people won't stop resisting arrest. Crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. A while ago, I hate to point this out, but you made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
You said we're fighting a one-way war. No, we're losing a one-way war.
Yeah, that's right. We're submitting to a one-way war. Let me show you another video here. Sorry, I got a lot of videos for you today, but it's all good. Go to Bill Whittle. Bill Whittle, down at the bottom, Sheldon. Bill Whittle. And you can put him on 1.5 time. Folks, I want you to watch this video. This video was made in 2016. Do you see that? August 30th, 2016. Would everybody agree with me? That was 4 years ago. Four years ago, Bill Whittle made a video that says Black Lives Matter. It kills people. He made this video. Go ahead, Jared. All right, Sheldon.
Black Lives Matter is a Democratic Party scam. It's a combination street army, terrorist organization, and voter turnout machine, and has killed and will continue to kill policemen, white people, Hispanics, and Asians. Oh, and Black Lives Matter gets black people killed too. So let's start by disassembling the lie that BLM is based upon, the idea that white people, especially white policemen, are exterminating young American black males. A lie this big has to be broken down into individual lies to show just how shameless the BLM big lie really is, and I'm deeply grateful to Heather McDonald, an actual journalist, who dug into the government reports to get a handle on what is actually happening in America today. So what's the truth? Well, the truth is that police fatally shoot far more whites and Hispanics, both in total numbers and as a percentage of total homicides, than they do blacks. According to a Washington Post report, in 2015, police officers killed 662 whites and Hispanics and 258 blacks. In the vast majority of all these cases, white, black, and Hispanic, the victims were attacking or threatening the police officer with a gun. 12% of all white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by police officers, compared to only 4% of all black homicide victims. In 2014, there were a total of 6,095 black homicide deaths. That's over 20 times the number of blacks killed by police. Now, virtually all of these black homicide victims had been killed by other blacks. And as far as the lie of blacks being exterminated by whites, the truth is that blacks commit murder at 11 times the rate of whites alone. So if Black Lives Matter really mattered to Black Lives Matter, then they would protest what is far and away the primary killers of young black males in America, which is other young black males. But they don't. So they don't. Now, it is absolutely true that blacks make up 26% of the police shooting victims and yet are only 13% of the national U.S. population. Now, surely that is evidence of racial targeting on the part of racist police officers. But it's not. In fact, it's just the opposite. Let's take New York, for example. 23% of New Yorkers are black, but they commit 75% of the shootings. Whites make up 33% of the population of New York City. They commit about 3% of the shootings. So what does that actually mean out there in the real world? It means that if blacks commit 75% of the shootings and whites commit 3%, then cops are 25 times more likely to be looking for a black shooter than a white one. Now, in neighboring Brooklyn are two communities, predominantly black Brownsville and predominantly white and Asian Bay Ridge. The shooting rate in Brownsville is not 25 times that of Bay Ridge. It's 81 times higher. So what does all of that mean for Black Lives Matter's big lie that white cops are assassinating black males on the streets of America? Well, the number of policemen killed in the line of duty has more than doubled in 2016. And over the last 10 years, a police officer is 18 times more likely to be killed by a black assailant than an unarmed black being killed by a cop. Oh, we have a national epidemic, all right. When it comes to who actually gets killed in confrontations between blacks and police, 18 times as many cops are killed by blacks than unarmed blacks are killed by police. So why does the president invite the leaders of Black Lives Matter to the White House for support and encouragement? Why does the attorney general, only a few days after a BLM-inspired murderer assassinated five policemen in Dallas, say to the leaders of the BLM movement that they should not be discouraged by the fact that there are all those dead policemen in Dallas and that the Justice Department would continue to work with them in order to build a brighter future? Why? Well, first, BLM is handy as street muscle. It's a private army of thugs that they can send to disrupt Republican conventions, especially Donald Trump rallies. Now, leaked emails reveal that the Ford Foundation, George Soros, and a few other shady characters are raising $130 million for the Black Lives Matter cause. Even at the going rate for professional protesters, $130 million is far more money than they could possibly spend on street protests. So why are they raising that kind of money? Well, because big players know the value of fear when it comes to getting their way. You see, Black Lives Matter is really a get-out-the-vote machine that the Democrats cannot win without. They need a huge majority of black voters and a huge number of them, too, in order to win national elections. Now, blacks came out for Obama. They're not so keen on Hillary, but if the president and the attorney general tell black America that they're being murdered by white policemen despite the fact that they have access to the same numbers we just showed you, well, then it's in the vital interest of Democrats to gin up and keep up a perpetual race war in order to motivate the slaves on their vote plantation. The BLM movement provides a moral fig leaf for the real message, which is this. Keep the Democrats in power, and the entitlement bribes of Obama phones and EBT cards and all the rest are going to keep on coming. However, throw the Democrats out. All of America's black-on-black killing fields in the cities have been governed exclusively by Democrats for half a century or more. Well, throw them out, and the riots we see in Ferguson and Milwaukee and all the rest will be coming soon to a city near you. By claiming victimhood, these professional protesters are calling for reducing the police presence in black communities. And that means that more black people, many hardworking, law-abiding, and completely innocent black people, will die at the hands of other black people. The Democrats not only don't care about all this, they actually need to keep these fires burning down black neighborhoods in black cities so that soulless, shameless mediocrities like Barack Obama can go golfing in the Hamptons with his rich white friends, and Hillary Clinton can make $100 million selling political influence for cash. It's just blackmail, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to keep coming. We need your
help. Hey, Josh, Shelton, 2016, did that nail it?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, I would have no problem with them if they would take that money and put it into the community, i.e. the schools, help right. Give the kids choice to get out of those places so they get a good education. I'd have no problem with that. But that's not what that money's going for. They're just a bunch of freaking communists that
Here's what we don't understand, Paul. Stay right there with me. See, folks, the gospel, the social gospel, somebody said to me the other day, I was watching a video, speaking of justice, let me get her up there. Somebody said, anytime you have to put a modifier, an adjective in front of justice, you know, you're dealing with communism, social justice, global justice, economic justice, marriage justice. Anytime you have to put a modifier in front of justice, you know you are dealing with communism. Are you with me, folks? You understand what we're talking about here? And unfortunately, what has happened? It has crept into our churches. Can I tell you the truth, folks? Come on. We're all big boys here. Black American pastors have become black before Christian. Hey, whites know better. Our pastors have bought into race identity. You'll hear a black pastor talk about our people. We need to take care of our people. Pardon me a second. What in the does that mean? Our people. Aren't we all Christians, one members of the same body? But see, again, the influence of, dare I say it, social justice has replaced the gospel. That's why we see white pastors buying in to Black Lives Matter, because why? They've swallowed the social justice pill and don't understand that they're misrepresenting the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, hey, Coach, if you got that right, You know, I sent out a video of to a bunch of guys, and a pastor saw it, and it was saying, does the South deserve a monument to Robert E. Lee? Well, this pastor wrote back and he said, well, we have to be sensitive to blacks. This is a pastor of a multiracial church, okay? And he said, we have to be sensitive because when they see, because of the issue of slavery, when they see a monument to the Confederates, it's like seeing a monument to Hitler. That was the comparison.
There you go. Hey, Paul.
How ridiculous is that?
Well, that's where we're at. Hey, Paul, let me tell you something, Paul. Hey, Paul, you're a black guy. Yeah. Vinny, you're a black guy. Hey, Paul, do you get up in the morning and have nightmares about Robert E. Lee statues, Christopher Columbus statues? Is the average black guy, everywhere he goes, covering his eyes so he doesn't have to look at those statues? What the hell's going on, Paul?
But, Coach.
Yeah.
I would ask the white people, I said, do you get up every morning thinking how you go screw a black person over every day?
Of course not.
I mean, this is so stupid. And the thing is, like you said, a lot of these black pastors, some of them that I have respect for, marched in BLM marches. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing?
What are they doing? Because they don't understand, do they?
Because
see, folks, listen, it's virtue signaling. Let Paul finish. Let Paul finish.
Well, technically, Black Lives Matter has helped kill more black people than the police did in this year.
Right. Well, they're pro-abortion, yeah. Right? We know that. Black Lives Matter is pro-abortion. They're killing black babies, right? So the social engineering has reached to the pulpits. That's why we have the inability to fight back. Can I tell you the truth? I always tell you the truth. I risk every time I come on the show and talk like this, I risk. Do I need to get gates in front of my house every time? Folks, you can't talk like this. You can't talk truth because truth has become racist, right? Truth has become racist. The simple fact of the matter is if George Floyd had not resisted arrest, he'd be alive today. And all these cities wouldn't be burnt. If George Floyd had just gotten in the stinking car, right? Right? Where did he come up with the idea to resist arrest? Where did he come? And then the guy got killed down in Wendy's. If he'd have just got cuffed and gone with the cops, none of this would have happened.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
You know, 31 years ago during Hurricane Hugo, I was in the high school shelter in the town about 15 miles inland from where we lived. And I saw at that time because, there were many, 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 many black families in the shelter along with white families and stuff. And I literally saw black parents, actually it was single mothers, teaching their children to look at every situation, every circumstance, and be looking for discrimination and racism. They are taught to be on the lookout for it.
Larry, we're taught to it. We're taught. We're taught. We're all taught, see? It's the only weapon that they really have to be able to fight against us. It's the only one. I got to show you another video. I told you I got a bunch of them today. But they're all illustrative. That's another big word I learned. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
I know. I meant to send it to you, and I forgot to do it. I apologize. But there was a good article. It was on The Blaze. He had a black pastor from a church called I think African Christian University, and he's a pastor, and he explained it to the T exactly what's going on and about what you talked about, the Marxist ideology and things like that about social justice and the difference between that and justice in the Bible.
That's right. Anytime there's a modifier in front of justice, you got trouble, brother. It's the leading you someplace else. Hey, pull up. I'll make sure I get the right thing here. That's not it. It says the Heritage Foundation. Click that up here.
Hey, Coach, can you put a little different perspective on this for a minute?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Sin by degrees. Is that what we're talking about here? The biggest culprit.
That's not the one I want, Sheldon. Go ahead. Jack, you're breaking up. That's not the one I want, Sheldon. Let me find it here. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, let's try this. You asked
clear. What other things can we do? Well, number one, we do need the people in the church praying. But number two, we need to be out there doing things. Now, if you take the cop situation or the legislature situation, the worst people, the worst cops are the good cops that don't stop the bad cops.
Right.
The worst people in the legislatures are the good guys that don't expose the bad guys.
Amen.
So it's all by degrees. Our legislators are setting up this situation because they don't want to make waves in their state legislature.
Well,
so you got three or four.
So Jack, you just did a great segue. Just segue. Hey, pull up. It says Heritage Foundation. Pull that up. Heritage Foundation. I about fell
Before
out of my
you
chair.
Do that, Coach, I'll tell you, the Heritage Foundation is not your friend.
Hey, Jack, let me run the show. Just kidding. Just kidding, Jack. Just kidding.
Hey, Coach. Another.
Hang on.
Another line in my sermon yesterday, brother. There's no fatherhood because there's no fathers in the hood. George Floyd's father left him and abandoned him and his six siblings when he was 62 years old. You want to know why he resisted the police? Because there was no father in the hood.
No fatherhood in the hood. No fatherhood in the hood. Okay, Sheldon, start this. You can play it 1.25. It's 5 minutes long. Tucker Carlson says, voting Republican is for fools. Voting Republican. Hey, folks, the Republicans are not fighting. They're not fighting. Wake up. Go ahead and play it, Sheldon. You may have to reset it. It looks like it's 37 seconds into it.
Foundation. That's the nation's single largest conservative think tank. It has consumed billions of donor dollars. The president of Heritage wrote an op-ed accusing America of being irredeemably racist. Her name is Kay Cole James. You probably have sent her money. As America burned, Kay Cole James, president of the Heritage Foundation, piled on. And she wasn't alone in that. So many on the right did exactly the same thing. Meanwhile, they did nothing. They didn't lift a finger to help the people they had promised, they had pledged to protect, their voters and their donors. Instead, they did everything possible to accommodate the demands of the people tormenting them, the rioters, and the people who backed the rioters. Congressional Republicans decided to make reining in law enforcement their top legislative priority. They blamed the cops. They didn't blame the rioters. They blamed the cops. Then Republicans bragged about springing more criminals from jail. The last thing we needed. In the state of Iowa, the Republican governor announced that she was giving felons the vote by executive order, not even waiting for the election, just doing it, signing it. Meanwhile, almost everywhere, ordinary Americans came under attack for the color of their skin. Acts of actual racism, where people were being hurt for their race, something they can't control, something they're born with. And yet no Republicans rose to defend them. Republicans refused even to defend the principle of equality under the law, the foundation of this country, the most important thing we have, not defended. Really, in the end, the only people who gained anything in the revolution were the ones waging it. Our leaders, very much including our Republican leader, shamefully, were focused on meeting their demands. So what should we conclude from what we just saw? The message, unfortunately, could not be clearer. Voting is for fools. You vote, you put these people into office with your votes, and in return, they patronize you. And when it matters, they abandon you. They have contempt for you. You know they do. You can smell it. It's obvious. Voting doesn't work. But when you riot and you burn things and you hurt people, you get a very different response. When you do those things, our leaders snap to attention. They tiptoe around your feelings, as Republicans are. They give you what you want, as Republicans are. Rioting works. That's the message they're sending. Think about that. It's the most dangerous possible message you can send because it guarantees more violence. You've got to wonder how all of this would have played out if Barack Obama was still president. Let's say it was the summer of 2011, right before Obama's reelection campaign started in earnest. Imagine if at that politically critical moment, violent mobs of Mitt Romney supporters began looting and burning major American cities, screaming racist slogans as they did it. Hard to imagine, but try. Imagine if the Romney mob then defaced and tore down statues of Martin Luther King in public parks. Imagine if every street sign in America identifying a Martin Luther King Boulevard was suddenly ripped to the ground and defaced with graffiti. Most Americans would find that appalling and disgusting. We certainly would. But let's say the mob kept doing it because nobody stopped them. Imagine if the people who planned to vote for Barack Obama in the fall knew they couldn't admit that in public. If citizens wearing Obama hats were physically assaulted, punched in the face, thrown to the sidewalk and kicked. Imagine if anyone who spoke out against the mobs or showed support for Obama's campaign was censored or deplatformed by tech monopolies that operated at the pleasure of federal regulators. Imagine if those same monopolies censored President Obama himself. So ask yourself sincerely, if all of that happened, how do you think Barack Obama would have responded? By tweeting angry things? By effectively apologizing to the mob, meeting their demands for, quote, reform, and then declaring a new national holiday at their request? No, probably not. It's hard to imagine Barack Obama doing that. It's hard to imagine him complaining that as president of the United States, he didn't have the power to stop political violence or preserve the integrity of an election or protect free speech or public art or the nation's history itself. No, that would not happen. Instead, within about 10 minutes, you would see the Obama Justice Department indict every single person involved on federal conspiracy and civil rights charges. You would watch as SEAL Team 6 reclaimed downtown Seattle. You'd see airborne units drop from the sky into Atlanta, Minneapolis, and Portland. You would see whatever it took to stop the chaos. That revolution would not last long. Say what you will about Barack Obama, and we do, but he never doubted he had the constitutional authority to act, and he did act. Obama knew a threat when he saw one. Our Republican leaders don't believe they have the authority. They don't believe they're legitimate. They don't see the threat. They don't want to see the threat because they know they can't face the mob. They know they're too weak. And so they offer trinkets and hope the mob will go away, but it won't. Mobs can't be sated. We thought Republicans understood that. That's why we supported them. But crisis has revealed the truth. Now we know who they are. It could not be clearer. And now it's time to find new leaders.
Wow, huh? It's the truth, right? It's the truth. Who? What Republicans pushed back? What ones? You guys, hang on a second, Vinny. Hang on, folks. I've been aware of something else that's going on. Many of you may not be aware of this. Seattle, nine blocks in Seattle, nine blocks in downtown Seattle have been seized. I never thought about this. Never thought about it. Do you know people live there? Do you know the nine blocks that they've seized? There are people who live in those nine blocks that can't get out. Do you know that? Do you have any idea the pillaging that might be going on to those people? What if you're a Trump supporter and you're living that nine blocks that they seized in Seattle? What is going on? Where's law and order? Where is it?
Or a Christian.
Or a Christian. Where's a Christian?
That's what we're up against. That's it. Christian.
Well, rape, pillage, and plunder is already going on in that location and in those locations. And you know what occurred to me when I was watching Tucker here? The love doctrine has been shoved down our throats.
Yeah, that's it, Bobby.
But the point where, you know, we are – in reality, we're the fighters. We have the guns. We have the veterans. We're trained. But we demonstrate way too much love. And having conversations with these people on the weekend, telling them that we're going to have to fight. What we don't have is there's very few of us that are willing to bite down and step into it and take it straight down the center. And then that's what we're going to have to reprogram our mind and understand that's where we're at. Just one more thing, and I'll get off here. Just like the craziness that was taking place in Oklahoma with the terrorists that literally intervened and prevented people from going into the Trump rally. They're ready to fight. We'll stand there. We're still standing there looking at their behavior in amazement, as opposed to understanding that we're not only not ready to fight, we're still stuck in amazement and not ready to bite down and take it straight down the center. We're going to have to understand that's what we're going to have to do at some point.
We're going to have to do it, brother. We're going to have to do it in order to be able to survive, right?
People don't even know what that means, Coach. They don't know what it means to go down the center. The simplest things people do not comprehend. I'll give you a quick example. One of the legislators told us in a meeting a year or so ago that another legislator, when they started the session, wouldn't stand up for the pledge. I said, well, what did you do? Well, nothing. I mean, I said, you didn't take them out of there? Well, you can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? You call them master at arms. You have the man removed from the chambers right then. If they won't do it, you take four or five people and you pick him out and you drag him out or throw him out the barn door. Oh, no, you can't do that. You got to be civil. We don't even know.
Shame and ridicule will win the day.
Well, and they've done white guilt. They've white guilted us so much that people are afraid to stand up and speak out against what they see going on. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not. The majority, I'll say that right, the majority of the protesters are white. Folks, this isn't a Black Lives thing. This is not about Black Lives. Now, they've used that vehicle. This is a white liberal, thumb-sucking group of young kids out there who don't want to work, want free stuff.
It's Kalergi playing, Coach. It's all terrorism.
It's terrorism. So let me double back. I got to go ahead. Got 10 minutes left. Go ahead, Mark. Was it Mark?
No, this is Gary. I just got a quick question. Do you think one of the reasons that some of on our side are reluctant to double down in the face of these protests is because we may be afraid that we're the ones that are going to be arrested and not the other guys?
Well, how about this? How about this? How about the arrests still going on at Planned Parenthood? Still going on at Planned Parenthood while our cities are being ravaged and burned to the ground. So when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And here's the problem we're dealing with. Most people do not trust the justice system. Hang on. Most people, like me, know that if I go into court, I'm going to be treated differently. I know why. Because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I speak out against evil. And when I, just like Pilate, Jesus before Pilate, just like Jesus before the Sanhedrin, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, when you go speak truth to power, you are in trouble. Now, here's what we found out in this whole Black Lives Matter thing going on. The police or the elected officials or the Psalm 2 or the seed of the serpent, they're all on the same team. Friends, they are all opponents of truth. They're all opponents of truth. It's what George Orwell wrote about. They're all opponents of the truth. And the only bastion of truth in America is the church. And they've been co-opted, social gospeled, humiliated, shamed till they are absolutely useless, powerless without any authority at all. That's what we're dealing with. So what we're going to have to decide, church, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because the only anecdote to what we see going on, just get them saved, Coach Dave. We just need to get them saved. You ain't even doing that. You're not even doing that. And the love, 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 peace, peace, peace. Jesus is the one that said, you cry peace, peace when there is no peace. Folks, there isn't any peace. We're just hoping it goes away. We're just hoping that, well, they'll take over a little bit of Seattle. And yeah, they'll get over a little bit of Minnesota, but they're going to stop. They'll stop. That'll be enough. What did Bill Whittle tell us? $130 million the left has raised to fight these fights. $130 million. And then what are we doing? We're raising money to build bigger sanctuaries. Church has no answer. Yes, it does. But we got the wrong gospel. We've got the peace, peace, love, love, social justice gospel that is impacting and influencing everything we look at, because ultimately it is about the pride of life. We don't want to look like we're not Christians. So therefore, Saul Alinsky's rules are make them live up to their own standards. So we're afraid that somebody's going to point out that we're not acting like their opinion of Jesus would act. And so we cover our mouths.
Yeah, why do we care about their opinion of Jesus, Coach?
Their opinion of Jesus. We are following their version of Jesus. That's what's happening.
Amen, brother. And it's a farce.
They don't even know Jesus. They don't even know Jesus.
You think about this, the scheme behind this. We saw for 8 years where we feminized men to skinny jean pastors. Look at Barack Obama. He was a feminist. He rode around with a little pink bike with a ringer on it, brother. And then you bring in this. Now you got no men who are willing to stand up. They've been so feminized.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Hey, Sheldon, real quickly. I got time. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to finish with this today. I'm about solutions. I want solutions. I'm tired of patty caking it. I'm just tired of it, man. Tired of patty caking. 2 Timothy chapter 4, because I want to take you on a little journey here real quick. Bear with me. More Bible. Roger will be happy. The more Bible, the better. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I charge you, therefore, but before God. Wait a minute. Let's do this, Sheldon. I'm sorry. Let's go back to three. I want to do three and four here real quick. Chapter three, and then we'll continue on. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters. This is not King James, but I'll get along with it. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness in those great big churches, but not having any power. Get away from those kind of people, is what it says. For these kind of people are those who creep into households and make captive, gullible, silly women who are loaded down with their own sins and are just hearing the prosperity gospel. And they're led away by their various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, they go to Beth Moore conferences they go hear all that stuff. Now, Janus and Jabez resisted Moses. So do these also resist the truth. We're talking about church people here resisting the truth. Because why? They're men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Then, folks, but you carefully follow my doctrine, Paul said, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, what happened to me to Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, persecutions I endured, all of them the Lord delivered me out of, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, not might, will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, some in the pulpit, some outside the pulpit, BLM telling us how Christians ought to act. But you must continue in these things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. He learned them from me. He didn't learn them from Jesse Jackson. And that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What? Why do we want Scripture? For doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So now we see men acting like this. Verse chapter 4. Here's the solution. Paul says, here's the problem. Here's the solution. All right, boys, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves pastors who are going to tell them how loving and caring and sweet they all are. And they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. And they're going to be turned into fables. They're going to be apologizing to Black Lives Matter. But you, my friend, Paul, Webb, you be watchful in all things. Hey, Mark Trump. Hey, Larry. Hey, Linda Studer. Dale Socia. Jeff Klein. Endure afflictions.
Amen, Coach.
Do the work of an evangelist. Hey, dudes, fulfill your ministry. Now, if you get the picture, Paul just said, all this crap's hitting the fan, and here's what you're going to do about it, baby. You're going to go headlong into that mess, and you're going to declare the truth. Hey. Doesn't talk about getting people saved. Sorry. Doesn't talk about getting people saved. In fact, this is talking to the supposedly saved. We don't get the church right, we ain't gonna get anything right. And the church is wrong. Got a minute. Somebody wrap it up here. I'll wrap it up. Sky High. July 17th through the 19th. Be here. Get
Coach,
here. Yes,
it's terrorism. They've been terrorizing us. We've had necklacing brought to America.
Vinny, they're shaming us. They're white shaming, white guilting, Christian shaming us. Saul Alinsky has grabbed control of the church. And I say,
so we all we have to do, Coach? We have to black shame.
Hey, Coach,
person.
The SBC banned All Lives Matter, the Southern Baptist Council.
We just read about them, didn't we?
Yep. Wonder if they'll ban Jesus Matters.
I wonder if they will. Hey, Mark, they're coming to tear down Jesus off the porch anyway. He'll come to get him. Huh? Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not ensure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they're going to have itching ears. They're going to heap up teachers, going to tell them exactly what they want. BLM is from hell, and churches are supporting them. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
All lives matter.